This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp, where there's a lot of delicious food. Mike is full for now, but he's getting ready for the Napalm Challenge at 120. Also, in case you missed the big news of the day, Cowboys right guard Zach Martin is going to have season-ending surgery per Mike McCarthy. Mickey said he thinks they'll get the opportunity to talk with Zach Martin later. I'm not saying, Corey, like necessarily this is going to happen, but obviously the question's going to come up unless Zach Martin starts a statement by saying, if you're going to ask me if my career is over, I'm going to wait till the surgery. But like that question is going to get asked. And so I'm just curious how he handles that on what's got to be a really, really tough day for
him. And that's
him.
The easiest way to answer that question, right?
Yeah, sure.
To be like, look, let me get to that first. Kind of McCarthy's already said that. It's all about the surgery right now. So I think that would be the easiest way to answer that and say, once I know that, I'll have a better understanding of what my rehab's going to look like and what kind of shape I'll be in after that. But I guess the question beyond that, Kevin, is tomorrow we'll have Jerry Jones on.
Yep.
Do you want to bring him back? The contract's up. Do you want to bring him back, understanding where things are right now? You know, I think that – I don't know if that's a – that seems like a fair question.
I need to look into some of that more because logistically the way they do those void years, I do still think it's way more beneficial for them to have him back for next year than just let him walk and take the $17 million hit.
Yeah, and, you know, Jerry likes to have his collection, you know, of players that are his guys that never leave here. So.
And I just wanted to mention one more thing about the atmosphere out here. It's been a lot of fun. Chia Follow's out here right now. We had the morning show guys out here for a couple hours. There was a mail truck here that was so excited to see us that they backed up and knocked down one of the signs.
But it's on springs, we found.
He didn't even know.
I didn't know that at the time because Ruben looked at me and he goes, oh, crap. And I looked over and that sign was just down because the mail truck had backed into it. But you see it, like we could see it right now.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's standing upright just fine. It probably got some of that tea, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, it was for the nighttime situation. It was hanging down there and...
What are you saying, Kevin?
Come on. You've heard his commercials.
I know what he's talking about. I heard him a couple weeks ago when I was out on that Friday talking about his situation down there.
No.
I don't know if gravity can... Like, gravity hurts you pretty much, right?
So if you run a mail department like, in this area and
like
you have a dent
up a
on 10-pound one of your vehicles,
weight down there.
Kevin just wanted you to know that we know who the guy is.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that what you're saying? He's a Tolo, dude. We don't
I didn't say I was going to sell him out. Look... You've seen sensitive information around the station has come out in the last year or so. I was in the car with the three people who knew it. They all knew I knew it. I refused to admit that I knew it until somebody in the car repeated it to me. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to talk about the Mavericks here because I was doing a little study. I just want to start with this. Are we all happy with the job that the Mavericks have done thus far this season?
Yes.
And
that's it.
Especially, obviously, the last 10 years.
Okay, Mike,
will
you walk me through it? Because you were like, hey, we might not be above 500 until January, and you've got to be pumped with the way it's been going.
At 5-7, your best player on the team was not engaging in the season.
Yep.
And I didn't get it. I didn't get why Luka was like, in a weird way, it felt like I don't care about basketball anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, what is going on? Why is he not engaging? I get like there's a game here and there that you're tired, but he just didn't seem to want to play basketball anymore the way he was playing. And then he got hurt. And now he's come back and these two games have been great. But when he kind of went out, it was like that the team came together and said, we're going to play hard, good quality basketball. And they're going to lose more games. I get it. They're not going to win 9 out of 10 every 10 games they play.
But they did win 5 out of 6 without Lucas.
Yeah, and you watch this and you're just like, okay, this is the team I remember that went through the Western Conference.
Yep.
Obviously, they got beat by a better team. Boston was a way better team.
Sure.
Nobody was going to beat Boston last year, and the Mavericks didn't come close to beating them. But now, watching them play the last 2.5, 3 weeks, man, I don't know what else you could ask from these guys. Guys are stepping up. They're doing more than you thought they could do. I mean, I'll ask you this, Corey. Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing more than we ever thought they could be possibly capable of.
Yeah, when it comes to Najee Marshall, Kevin, you know, I thought of him as a 3-and-D guy, put him in a corner, and that'll be it. But
he's more versatility offensively
He's shooting from everywhere on the court, for one, but he also has the ability to fast break. He's going. He doesn't slow it down at all. And whenever it comes to getting his own shot, you know, around the basket, he can do that well. So I didn't expect that. But then he's a really good defender. And I'm not saying, like, really good as in, oh, it feels like you didn't drop off enough from Derrick Jones Jr. You feel like you're still there. And then Quentin Grimes, he's finding his place. I saw somebody earlier on Twitter said he's the LeBron James of Josh Green's. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes some sense.
What,
like,
a fascinating description. I want to follow that person. That's very clever.
He's a better version of Josh Green. He still has some moments where you're like, what? But at the same time, his defense, his effort, and his ability to shoot is coming in well, and he fits in. He looks like you can see when guys are making the smart play, how other guys respond to it, and that smart pass usually ends up being a bucket.
And if we can add one more person, let's be honest, Spencer Dinwiddie's already bringing more than I think any of us anticipated. That was more than I anticipated.
You know, Mike, we discussed that a little bit earlier this week with his turnovers have just decreased so exponentially, and his assists have gone up.
40 assists, 6 turnovers in like the streak.
That's remarkable. So almost 7-1.
Yeah, when he was starting for Luke,
yeah.
I think was the number of like 40 in 8 games. I think it was 40 assists and 6 turnovers.
Yeah, if you're giving me less than a turnover a game, rock on.
And especially since he was handling the ball so much in that time too. But the other thing too on that is when you're a guy like Dinwiddie, when you're on a roster that is this full, you can be that far down on the depth chart and still be a good contributor.
You mentioned Josh Green. The only other person that was let go off of the team, and not let go, he signed with another team, is Derrick Jones Jr. Do you miss either one of those guys at all? Why or why not?
There are times when I still miss Derrick Jones Jr. just because I like
his ability to fly.
Yeah, I love the size and the athleticism. And I'm not saying you haven't replaced certain aspects of it defensively and stuff.
Yeah.
There's still a time or two that I'm like, oh, I could use that right
now. I'm with you. I just wanted to kind of throw that out.
But otherwise, not really.
Yeah, now let me ask you this. We've talked about a lot of the positives, and I'm with you on all of it. I'm going to bring up, I don't even know if I want to say negatives, but I'm going to go the opposite of positive here and ask you about two other guys on this team.
Yep.
Klay Thompson and Jaden Hardy. What are your thoughts so far of trying to work in Klay Thompson on this team? I know it's still early in that progression of playing in one style, one team for a decade. And then the lack of progression, I guess I will say, because I am a Hardy fan. He's had moments this year, but he has disappointed me in the kind of 21 games he's been available.
Okay, I need a clarification on that part. He has disappointed you, or the Mavs' usage of him has disappointed?
Both.
Okay.
I think they wanted to use Hardy more, but he
shoots
didn't
himself
do
in the foot sometimes. Yeah.
To stay on the court. And then what happened? Spencer Dinwiddie took over those minutes, and we just talked about how pleasantly surprised we are of Spencer Dinwiddie. And
but the minutes come from somewhere.
He
and
took
they
advantage
come from him.
Of his opportunity. I think they tried to give that opportunity to Hardy, and he did not play well enough to keep those minutes.
I did see, by the way, somebody mentioned that he is eligible for trade. There was something in his contract where people were like, no, he can't
Hardy.
Be, but he actually is. So that is still an
option. He makes
option
such
there.
Little money. He doesn't.
He's a
he's like somebody wants him because like we have minutes for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't get you to that $40 million number you need.
That's true. I mean, I believe it or not, when we always complain about that, he is somebody that could help you pick up draft assets.
Yeah.
That's what you were looking for. For Klay Thompson, I don't necessarily want you to take this question in the most literal sense, but have you kind of forgotten a couple of times that he's on the team?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
A little bit.
Okay, and like I know we're aware that he's still on the team, and obviously he's been dealing with the plantar fascia, but there are some times when it's kind of balanced out by the positive and negative, right? Like some of the contributions, whether it's Dinwiddie, Grimes, Marshall, whether it's just the continued evolution of Lively and Gafford together, that you kind of are like, oh yeah, we have one of the greatest pure shooters in the history of basketball. He has struggled, and then he's really struggled past like the first four games, and then he's had injuries. So that has been disappointing.
You know, one of the moments that I know he's on the court the most, or whenever he does get the ball for a three-pointer, because the crowd goes nuts. They're ready.
I could see that.
They're ready to crack open for Clay and just be like, yes, that's the guy that we know. And for him to have one of those hot nights or a few of those hot nights consecutively, I still think he does a good job defensively on the team. And I think, again, I say smart play because sometimes the ball touches his hand and you think he's going to shoot the three. And he's like, no, that's not the right one right now. And he ends up getting the play that leads to the assist or the play that leads to the points.
Yeah, and I guess I want to say disappointing is too strong of a word because he's had nice moments. He's averaging 12.7. I wanted to look it up. 3.5 rebounds. Assist is at 1.9. He's been all right. It's not that he's been a negative player on your team.
Yeah.
Maybe we were just hoping for him to.
I just think those stats are kind of front-loaded too. Like I kind of disagree with you a little bit on this, Mike. That's why I'm just speaking for me. I'm going to say disappointed because I thought he came out to such a hot start. That's padded some of those numbers at least a little bit.
Okay.
We don't have to agree on that.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm
an old-fashioned showdown right here.
No.
I love it.
Happy
Mike's
with
gonna
how
leave
he,
the show.
I just don't want to make it sound like he looks like Josh Richardson when we had him.
No, I know. I'm not saying
that.
You know,
the dude who had a brother who played in the league, he had two triple-doubles on Memphis against us. So we're like, let's give him $30 million. He had two good games in his life.
Yeah.
They were both against us. I forget his name.
Now, I want to talk about one more thing that has been undeniably the most negative part about this season that have they started to turn the corner on this. The Mavericks in clutch time, all right? That was the crux of a lot of these issues. Like, that four-game losing streak, they lost those games by a combined 8 points. And you can be like, oh, you're really close. Or you can be like, hey, you're struggling in clutch time. They were tied for the league lead for most clutch losses this season. What is a clutch loss? That is a loss where the game was within 5 points in the final 5 minutes. Take a look at these last three games, especially the last two against the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies. Against the Jazz, all right? You're up by five with 7 minutes to go. So the game's still there to be had. Mavericks outscore them by 7 points to close it out, all right? You go back to the Trailblazers game. These last two games are really where you've seen it. It's 127-127. There's less than 2 minutes to go. This is a situation where we've seen the Mavericks lose again and again and again this year. What happens? They go on a 10-4 run, they get a turnover, and they give up no offensive rebounds. And the reason why I wanted to bring up those two things is, and I know you guys both know this, you can look at those clutch situations, and what are they marred by? Other teams picking up offensive rebounds and turning over the ball. You saw that time and time again. And then take a look at the Grizzlies game. Obviously, we talked about that a lot yesterday, I think. It's 18-5 to close out the game for the Mavericks, including a 13-0 run.
It was awesome.
So the last three games have all been tight-ish, but especially these last two. And in clutch time, you have seen the Mavericks not turn over the ball and not give up offensive rebounds, and that is why they've been closing these games out, or at least one of the reasons why they've been closing these games out.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it, making sure that they're secure in that because they know they have guys that can score.
Is there?
But Kevin, the thing that PJ kind of mentioned regarding a little bit of that yesterday was, we knew it would take time to get everybody in order.
True.
You know, he was like, they were still trying to figure things out. We feel like we're starting to get on that page where you don't have to think anymore. You can just react the way you're supposed to.
Is there a sample size, I don't know if it's the rest of this calendar year or whatever, that you're like, okay, I feel more comfortable in these clutch game situations? Because I'm telling you, it's 2-3 games. Like, no one's going to base your entire season off of that trajectory. I am hopeful that this is the step in the right direction.
No, I'm hopeful that they're going to be another really good clutch team because most teams don't have two guys to go to.
True.
Oklahoma City has one guy to go to. And, yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. Shea is a great guy.
He's fantastic.
Denver has one guy to go to. Minnesota has one guy to go to. When you start going down, I'll argue this. Phoenix has one guy to go to. I think Devin Booker craps his pants in big-time clutch situations.
Right.
I get he's made big shots. I get he's Team USA. I get his resume. I get he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. I would be kind of nervous if I'm relying on Devin Booker to take me to the next level. I think Kevin Durant is still on that level, but he's like on.
And then he just got hurt again, yeah.
Yeah, so like most teams have one guy if they're a really good team to go to. The Mavs have two in these situations, and other guys have stepped up and made big shots based off of clean looks that Kyrie and Luka have given them. PJ Washington, Spencer Dinwiddie lately. So I feel good about this team in clutch situations, but obviously after 12 games, I wasn't. But I am now.
Big three-pointers.
So it's changed already.
Yeah.
Big three-pointers. Are they drawing anything up for Klay? Or is it always going to be Kyrie and Luka?
Okay, so here's something I just thought about with Klay, and that's partially because of people that were weighing in on the fan text. I saw at least a couple of people go, wait till the playoffs. And that is one thing that we did talk about before the season is this something that you're not really going to see the benefit of? Like the real benefit of
until matchup time,
until the playoffs. And if that's the case, that's fine too.
We interviewed Robert Horry about this, right?
Yep.
If I'm remembering to start the season, because it was the San Antonio game, so we're getting to interview Robert Horry. I asked him the specific question of how long will it take Klay Thompson to get used to this. I don't think people understand when you've played your whole life of basketball one way.
Sure,
they play with ball movement and movement off the ball. The Mavericks don't do a lot of that. They've added a little bit more of that, which I'm happy with. But he is trying to play a brand new style of basketball at 34 years old. That's not easy to do.
No.
Tell somebody that has run, I don't know, I'm just going to compare it to football since everybody's a football fan. All right, we pass the ball 48 times a game. You get traded to a team and you're near the end of your career and they're like, here's what we do. We run the ball 30 times and we pass it about 25. Well, I usually run like 40 different routes a game. Now now I'm only going to run, and we lower the tree on the routes you're going to run because of your age. You're not able to do these certain things anymore. So we've eliminated this from your route tree. All right. Like
you That's going to be difficult.
Yeah. So Clay is regressing. He's also learning a new system. And Robert Horry, I want to say, did he say 40 or did he? Do you remember?
I thought it was like 20 or 30, but yeah. I don't really remember.
And he said a lot longer than we thought, though. Like
So probably more than 20. Because
we would probably say 25, and he went farther than that. Yeah. So yeah, it was almost
maybe 40, you're right.
50. And I
maybe
remember Vince 40. Carter talking 60. About it on ESPN, 61. And I think probably around the All-Star break is the way Vince Carter – the reason I asked that question, I remember Vince Carter saying maybe around the All-Star break is when he expects Clay to get used to playing off of Luka.
All that being said, there's a lot of positive to like.
Great thing is, let's just say Clay Thompson doesn't work out.
You're good.
It seems like you're still in really good shape if he's a dude who only plays 20 minutes a night and doesn't play the last 6 minutes of games.
And you should win by a million points tonight. For the KNC masterpiece, the Wizards.
Oh, yeah, the Wiz Kids.
They suck.
Who's the moron who chose to – he's like, I want to be on a horse-ass team the rest of my life so I can score 20 points a game. What was that moron's name? He's on the Wizards.
John Wall?
No, he hates Dinwiddie.
Gilbert Arenas?
He's a 6'9" dude who sucks on good teams.
Kuzma.
Yeah, the Mavericks wanted him. He's like, I don't want to play for them. They're good at basketball. I want to be on the worst team possible
That's
what he said. That's what was in his heart. He might have said it in another way, but he's like, I like playing on miserable teams that I can score 20 points on. I want to be the best player on the worst team in the world.